CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The business of America is small business, and I welcome the small business columnist for The Guardian newspaper, the UK and US edition, as well as our hometown newspaper, The Philadelphia Inquirer. We go immediately to a column that Gene Marks has published in The Hill, Better Than It Looks. This is a way of talking about an economy that Gene and I have striven to describe these last months, because this is down, but this is not down, and this spending looks good, and where's the recession? Gene, a very good evening to you. I won't ask about a recession. I'll ask about the hesitation in the markets because of the banks. Is that indicative, to your knowledge, of the rest of the economy, including small business, or is that some rarefied conversation about international banking? Good evening to you.
Hi, John. You know, the markets are the markets, and I'm never going to even try to explain the rationale of the markets. But I did write a piece in The Hill this week about the overall economy. I mean, John, you and I talk about the economy all the time. We're trying to figure out where it's going. And, you know, is it good? Is it bad? Are we heading towards a recession or not? And, you know, I took a look at, like, some of these numbers, and, like, you know, there really are a lot of, you know, positive things in the economy that don't seem to get the attention that you think. I mean, energy costs for now are down like 37%. This is oil from over a year ago. You know, rental vacancies for consumers are at a 30-year low. And even office vacancies, you hear a lot about, you know, there's, you know, everybody working from home, and that is an issue. But, you know, the National Association of Realtors reported that office vacancies this past year is just 3%, you know, higher than it was the year before, which is, you know, not catastrophic. You know, commercial loans. I mean, you know, we're aware that the Fed has increased interest rates, and the prime rate right now is going to, you know, right now it's at 7.75%. It's going to go up even higher. And yet commercial loans are higher. They're about 14% higher than they were even, you know, just a year ago. You know, retail sales are still at an all-time high. I obsess about the producer price index because we've talked about that before. And the fact of the matter is the producer price index is continuing to drop every month. I mean, it's like at 4.5% right now, and the same levels that we saw back in 2022. You know, I looked at manufacturing. You know, backlogs are rising. Inventories are falling. Orders for durable goods and non-durable goods are growing, you know, in data to look at. That doesn't mean that, you know, there won't be a recession this year. You know, small business confidence still remains very, very low. You know, the outlook among a lot of economists are still seeing a down economy, John. And that could happen. You know, I get it. But, you know, for the most part, we're certainly not in a recession right now. I mean, things are okay. We're not booming, but I don't know. I'm not feeling that we're in like such a bad situation. None of my clients just are closing their doors or complaining either. So that's where we are right now.
Let's look at the banks, and we have several ways to talk about the banks. The SVB Bank, for example, Silicon Valley Bank, mm-hmm. and banking in general, especially regional banks and small banks. Janet Yellen has spoken variously these last days about supporting deposits. However, I don't have any clarity there. You do have a recommendation that people who concern themselves with their deposits should have a conversation with their bank about spreading around their deposits. $250,000 is a limit, and there's a way to do that. So we're going to address that, Gene, but I wanted to speak generally about banks here. We saw a bank panic last week that resembled George Bailey. We don't have anything like that right now. The banks right. that are in trouble were in trouble for other reasons besides a bank run. So what is your measure in Philadelphia? Are people anxious about their money? Has it in any way diminished these last days because there haven't been any other failures?
I am not seeing that anxiousness either. Listen, I mean, anybody running a business, I can't speak for individuals, but I can speak for my clients. You know, their antennas raised. They're, you know, making, you know, keeping an eye out. I've had, you know, quite a few clients talk to their bankers. And I just did a big piece on this for the Inquirer this past week, the Philly Inquirer, about the importance of talking to your banker and diversifying your cash. People are making sure they're doing that as well. But there's certainly no panic there.
Right.
There is, you know, there, I'm not sensing any business owners, you know, thinking that most people know that there's like 4,300 banks in the country, John. And, you know, we've had a couple that ran into bad times. I mean, you would think there'd be even more than that just on average. So, again, no one is panicking, I'm saying.
All right, let's go to this, some positives. Hotel industry is reporting 14% above 2019.
Yeah.
That's really good for the hospitality, leisure, services, travel. People are traveling. But then we have this the yin and yang time, Gene. We have half the companies planning to cut back employee benefits in 2023. Do those things go together?
No, I don't think they actually go together. I think the hotel industry is enjoying the same type of rebound that retail and restaurants are. I'm looking forward to numbers coming out from Las Vegas convention people to see what traffic is in Las Vegas for the month of March. That will be a good indication as well. Then you know, a survey that was done, you know, showed that a lot of companies are starting to cut back on their employee benefits. That's only connected to the fact that I think a lot of companies were overspending on employee benefits. I think a lot of companies we're all still looking for good employees, but there's a little bit of softening in the workforce I see as well. Less jobs, you know, open jobs are out there, just starting to plateau out. And I see a lot of, because of a lot of layoffs that have happened in tech and construction, there's been some talent that's been available. And I think a lot of companies are looking at some of the, you know, the benefits that they're providing that are unnecessary because, you know, everybody seems to be getting ready for this inevitable recession. And so they're tightening their belts a little bit and they're getting rid of certain things that they don't think they can afford anymore. Health insurance, John, I mean, continues to take a big bite out of businesses' budgets. And, so a lot of my clients are looking at, you know, readdressing their health insurance plans, having employees pay more for their health insurance, or the employers themselves paring down on some of the coverages. This is all natural stuff that you're going to do in a slowing economy with you know, relatively higher inflation.
And yet, this from a report: small businesses across the United States report healthier conditions in recent weeks amid a prolonged period of economic turbulence.
Yeah.
It's odd, Gene. We're getting different reports on different days. It's either getting worse, it's getting better, or people are surprised that it's getting better.
Yeah, it's something, isn't it? I mean, this is the Economic Innovation Group. They're an excellent company. They do a lot of economic analysis. They did their studies. They are finding that from July of 22 to March of 2023, you know, better, less difficulties of small businesses. They're finding small business reporting that they've got better, you know, less supplier delays, for example, less supply chain issues. They're lesser reporting difficulties in hiring, you know, more are reporting that they plan on changing their employee, you know, their employee numbers. Many are reporting a lower prices that they're seeing. They're less pessimistic also about future demand. This was like a rosy report from the Economic Innovation Group, which came out, you know, just this week.
I'll take rosy. I like rosy.
Yeah, it's rosy is good. Meanwhile, you know, we're going to see the National Federation of Independent Businesses, which they do their study. They found that, you know, small business confidence is still at, you know, lows that we haven't seen since the 1980s. So it's like, it depends on who you ask. Maybe it depends on what their agenda is. It certainly depends on their sample size and the data that they're using. But it's more, you know, it's more conflicting. It's more conflicting data. My sense anecdotally, though, is business owners themselves are more optimistic, I think, than the media is actually reporting. We're already in March, John. And again, most of my clients are kind of off and running with their years. I'm not saying this will be the best year in their history, but I'm just not seeing your clients, you know, calling out, you know, in desperation. We've got the same challenges that we've always had running our companies.
What is polyworking? Have you seen this term before?
I hate this, John. Polyworker is like this new trend among Gen Zers. They don't want to hold down just one job, so they have multiple jobs, hence the name polyworking, right? And you know, Paychex did a story. They surveyed 1,000 American workers and found out that, you know, many of them, 40% of them, currently have multiple jobs. They work for, they're in a part-time world. It is, you know, if I had a full-time employee and then they also had another job, I would be concerned. I can't stop them, but it would definitely concern me. A lot of these workers, though, have part-time jobs. So they have two or three part-time things that they're doing. And I think that's a generational thing. I don't think it's uncommon now, particularly for so many remote workers, to say, listen, I can give 10 or 15 hours to this company and 20 hours there and 10 hours there, and that's my work week. You know, if they can make it work, that's good. But again, I would not be happy if it was a full-time employee of mine that was practicing poly working.
And Axios has found someone to blame for the Silicon Valley Bank failure. The someone to blame is somebody who's not at his or her desk. Remote working. Have you seen this, Gene? Of throwing remote working down and saying, there's the banking problem?
Well, obviously, remote workers are not entirely to blame for the Axios, for the Silicon Valley Bank collapse. I think there's other issues involved. But the Axios piece did bring up a good point. And it's a point, listen, John, that I suffer from. I mean, I have 10 employees at my company, and we're a virtual company. So everybody is spread out all around the country, and we are dysfunctional. I mean, our overhead is low, and, you know, we're doing okay, but we lack the sharing of information and socialization and culture. And, you know, the point of this is like, listen, there weren't so many people working remotely at Silicon Valley Bank. If they were in the office, they'd be talking more and collaborating more and sharing. And, you know, they might have been way more aware of these problems that Silicon Valley Bank had managing their cash. If they weren't in their separate silos. So you can't blame it entirely on remote working, but I do understand how remote working could contribute to the problem.
As I remember reading about SVB, and I'd have to check my source on this, but these are the managers, not the workers. One was in Hawaii sometimes, one was in Florida sometimes, one was definitely in Manhattan. And that isn't good for leadership.
No, it is not. It is. Listen, companies need culture. And that is what a lot of businesses are struggling with nowadays. I mean, even Apple and Amazon are like really coming down hard on their employees to come into the office. But then you've got a generation of employees that really don't want to. So it's a real dilemma, and it's going to continue to be a puzzle that a lot of managers are going to have to figure out.
We're going to look more closely at the SVB collapse and what this means for regional and small banks, especially small banks in Philadelphia. Gene Marks, writing for the Philadelphia Inquirer, as well as being the small business columnist for the Guardian newspaper, UK and US edition. This is the Small Business Report. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Dash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.